Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding served in the U.S. Army during World War II. They met while working for radio station WHDH in Boston. Elliott was a disc jockey and Goulding was a news broadcaster on Elliott's program. Their on-air banter between the two of them was the beginning of their comedy team. Their facility for comic improvisation was demonstrated on the daily Matinee with Bob and Ray program beginning in 1946. 5 years later, they were off to New York City, where they gained national recognition on the National Broadcasting Company radio network, and they also had broadcasting series on the Columbia and Mutual radio networks and on the American Broadcasting Television Network. The track you're about to hear is from their NBC years. It's a skit entitled Radio Script Writing School and was broadcast on August 8, 1951. So get out some note-taking materials so you too can become a radio script writer after attending this class given by the one and only Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding. This is Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program. Thank you for stopping by.
Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome to the Bob and Ray Show with Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding.
Today, fellas.
I didn't hear a bit of it, sir. Not a bit.
I was playing it.
I couldn't hear it at all.
I'll play a little more of it for you so you can get it.
I hear it now. Fine.
I was drowned out by the harmonica player, I think.
There was no harmonica in that theme there at all.
Oh, that's why.
Well, hello again, everyone. Sir, will you move off, please, and get back to the...
Yeah.
Fine. All right, and good afternoon, friends everywhere across this... land of ours.
This grand old world of ours.
Certainly wonderful to be here. Bob, the airplane was up the other night. Steve Bosco was correct.
I understand that he finally came through and had the plane up there flying over Yankee Stadium. And it said Bob and Ray on it and
That's
big
right.
4-inch neon.
And also, on the desk this morning was a bill for $4,385. The authorization was signed by Steve Bosco.
Yes, Bosco. That explains why he didn't call in yesterday. I wonder if he will today.
I bet he won't, because he knows that the $4,000 didn't exactly hit us right, if you know what I mean. It isn't, friends, that we are
tight. It isn't the money.
Believe me.
It isn't the money at all.
We have money. We have oils of it. We don't have to do this for a living.
Both independently wealthy?
Sure. But it's just the expenditure of $4,000, that's all. And it's a matter that I think should be discussed by the entire group.
I mean, if you get in the habit of spending $4,000 here...
How much did it cost?
$4,000-something, Mary.
Oh, that's dreadful, honestly. I think
that
Bosco is out of his mind.
Well, especially, he was supposed to do this all for nothing, you know.
What was it, 4-inch letters on that plane?
Big 4-inch neon letters, which...
Flying 30,000 feet in the air.
Well, I don't think he was that high, but it was a little bit difficult to see the...
Oh, honestly, I think that's dreadful, really. I'll give him that poison part of the jelly.
Yeah.
I'll fix him.
Did you bring in some more jelly today?
Yeah, no.
I didn't bring in
any jelly today.
We've got to wait for a new batch, huh?
Yes. Well, of course, the guava jelly time is gone now. I'll be making great jelly come fall.
Howdy, Bob and Ray.
I said
Ray.
I'll be making great jelly.
Great jelly, yes.
Don't interrupt, Tex.
Hello, Tex. Hello.
Please.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I thought you were all through there.
And will you move downwind, Tex, please?
Yeah, I'll get over here.
Fine.
We got wind of you when you came in the studio.
And hello again, everyone.
Seen me for a couple of days.
That's right.
Sounds like the calliope I played on the theme there.
I liked it very much, sir. We didn't hear it at first.
Something tells me we've gone through this part of the program once, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
I think it's kind of commercial time right here.
Yeah, that's right, sure.
So, attention, all you young men.
That's
want
right.
to attract attention.
Yes, sir. Attention, men.
Attention, young men. Attention, young men who are training to be men of distinction.
Young men, what you need is a crew cut. A genuine, upstanding crew cut.
Cut by real members of the Harvard crew in person.
Just drop in to Bob and Ray's Boathouse Barbershop. 8 barbers and a coxswain in constant attendance.
No waiting. Current magazines and fresh, clean ashtrays for the asking.
In this friendly atmosphere, you can get a genuine crew cut by the men who beat Yale by 16 lengths.
And with a pair of tortoiseshell glasses and a crew cut, you can be the Russell Knipe of your hometown.
You can be the Russell Knipe type. Crew cuts are perfect for the swimming pool, You won't have any long, stringy, dank hair danging over your eyes when Esther Williams swims by.
You want to be a gay dog, don't you? Not a sheepdog.
Yeah.
Don't be half-shorn.
Oh, don't be half-shorn. Get clipped good.
Hollywood starlets go for crew cuts, and crew cuts go for Hollywood starlets.
A crew cut is on the up and up.
A crew cut is lucky.
Now, if you can't visit our Boathouse Barbershop in person, just drop a letter addressed to Crew, NBC, New York.
That's Crew, C-R-O-W, NBC, New York.
Enclose a lock of your hair, and you'll receive a crew cut by return mail.
Cut by sturdy, muscular lettermen of the Harvard crew.
Remember, when you hear this cry,
rope!
You've been trimmed. Well, now we turn to our trio, which consists of
three musicians. For listening to me, I thank you.
Yeah. Hammond organ by Arlo, piano by Sanford Gold.
And that. And
that fellow playing a hound dog guitar, do you know?
No, that's a hound dog playing the guitar. No, Bill,
Bob.
We're only kidding.
And the song they're going to do is I Got Rhythm.
Yes, of course.
Well, today being Wednesday, that means we have another session of the Bob and Ray Radio Script Writing School, doesn't it?
Well, it looks that way from here, Bob, and I'm hanging on the chandelier.
Okay, well, now, today we take up two very important subjects which we call at the Bob and Ray School, timely switching on of radio to strengthen story plot,
and mistaken belief of getting paid off. Now, we're going to demonstrate this thing right now so that we don't need much explanation here. It'll explain itself as we roll along.
First, timely switching on of radio to strengthen story plot, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say to you writers that you're doing a crime script, see?
Yeah, I see. And there's been a daring bank robbery, friends, and the holdup men, you see, have just sped away from the scene of the crime. Now, first, you write a few lines of dialogue for the holdup men, working up to the high spot of the whole scene.
Oh, and writers, at this point, you've got to always have one of the men mad at the other.
I thought I told you not to use a gun.
I didn't mean to, Joe. I lost my head.
I thought I told you never to use that gun.
Yeah, but when I saw that teller reaching up, I thought he was going for the alarm bell.
Ah, you fool. I ought to know better than to get you in on a big job like this.
I didn't mean it. Honest, Joe. It was a mistake. Maybe the guy ain't dead.
I thought I told you.
Yeah, but I didn't think.
You didn't think. Well, it's done. Hey.
Yeah.
Switch on the radio. Let's see if there's anything about the holdup.
We interrupt this musical program to bring you a special news bulletin. Two bandits held up the Middale Bank just a few moments ago, shooting one of the tellers and escaping with $14,000 in small bills. Police have sent out an 8-state alarm for the two bandits, who sped from the scene in a high-powered black limousine. From descriptions given by several eyewitnesses, police believe one of the men to be Eddie the Thumb Sturdley, wanted by police of three other states.
Turn off the radio, Eddie. I heard enough.
Now, scriptwriters, you see how we did that? The minute the two bandits turn on the radio to get the news of their holdup, There it is.
It's all a matter of timing. If they turn on the radio and they don't hear what they're listening for right away, you lose many valuable program minutes.
See? Bob, just so all of the scriptwriters listening will be sure to get this, let's show how it works when the two guys arrive at their hideaway.
All right. Well, here they are, sitting in their mountain lodge, talking over the holdup. First, there's a couple of lines to set the scene.
Look, Joe, I told you I'm sorry I pulled that gun.
You're sorry, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought I told you to be careful.
Yeah, yeah, you did.
Yeah. Turn on the radio. I want to see if there's any more news.
Okay. It'll take a minute to warm up.
I thought I told you.
Police believe the two bandits who held up the Middale Bank 2 hours ago, escaping with $14,000, are hiding out in a mountain lodge somewhere north of Middale. One of the men definitely has been identified as Eddie the Thumb Sturdley, wanted in three states.
Turn it off, Eddie. I heard enough.
There now. You have something which will prove invaluable to you script writers. Now, that was the timely turning on of the radio to strengthen the plot.
Now, here's the second part of today's lesson, the subject we catalog as mistaken belief of getting paid off.
Now, let's go back to our two friends, Eddie and Joe, at their mountain cabin hideaway. It's the next morning, and they're waiting for the third member of the gang, Bill, who was the lookout on the job at the bank, to arrive.
On writing a scene such as you're going to hear now, it's got to be obvious that the two men, Eddie and Joe, don't like Bill, and they don't plan to split the loot with him. They're going to split it between themselves, but Bill, he never even thinks of this. Well, listen, honey.
Nice music, huh, Joe?
Turn off the radio, Eddie. I heard enough.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of sick of it myself.
Why don't that Bill get here anyway?
I think he's coming now, Joe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There he is, coming up the walk through the bushes. Now, remember.
Yeah, I know. We ain't splitting with him.
That's right. Just remember that. And remember what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I'll be okay, Joe. Don't worry about a thing.
Okay, Eddie. Okay.
What a surprise he's going to get.
Shut up. Here he comes now.
Well, hi, Eddie. Hi, Joe.
Come in, Billy boy. You made it okay, huh?
Yeah.
Sit down, Billy. You must be tired.
Yeah, Bill, you've been driving all night, huh?
Took the long way like we planned, huh?
Yeah. But fellas, don't mind. I don't want to stay too long.
Don't want to stay too long, huh? You hear that, Eddie? He don't want to stay too long.
Yeah, Joe. Bill don't want to stay too long.
That's pretty good, Bill.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, my little woman's waiting for me over in the next state, and I told her I'd be back. So if you'll, you know, just give me my share, I'll be going along.
Oh, you're going to get your share, all right.
Oh, okay.
Sure, well. You're going to get your share with dividends.
Oh, good. That's swell. Sure.
Sure, with dividends, ain't he, Eddie?
Oh, sure he is.
I'll say.
Well, that's wonderful, Eddie. Joe, that's nice. When am I going to get it?
He wants to know when he's going to get it, Eddie.
Oh, you'll get it real soon, Billy boy.
That's right, Eddie. You're going to get it real soon, Bill. Real soon.
Oh, well, swell. As long as I know you're cutting me in and I'm getting it soon, that's swell.
Sure, you're going to get it good, ain't he, Eddie?
You said it, Joe. He's really going to get it.
He sure is. You're going to get paid off, Bill, but good.
Oh, well, swell. That's all I was worried about. You see, the little woman's waiting over the next
Tell day. You what, Eddie. Why don't you take Billy boy here into the next room and pay him off right now?
Good idea, Joe. I'll pay him off good.
Yeah, give him everything that's coming to him.
Oh, gee, that's wonderful, Eddie. Joe,
sure.
You're going to pay me off in the next room, huh?
That's
okay.
Right. You just go into the next room with little old Eddie here, and he'll pay you off with dividends.
Oh, thanks, Eddie. Gee, that's a real favor.
Always glad to do little favors, Bill. Take him in there, Eddie, and give it to him good.
But good.
And there you have a demonstration of what we at the Bob and Ray Scriptwriting School call mistaken belief of getting paid off.
And that, writers, together with the timely switching on of radio to strengthen story plot, should give you quite a little to work on with your next crime script.
Were they really going to pay him off or shoot him?
No, you see what they were going to do.
I had the feeling they were going to shoot that
Well, they were,
Billy.
Mary, but Billy believed them, you see.
He's
the believing type.
Isn't that dreadful?
Yeah, well, it was kind of a sad ending to the thing, but...
And his wife is in the next state waiting.
Well, it's only a story. It's only a story. It was just a demonstration of how to
write
a mystery
script. I know, but it's terrible.
We're here every day, Monday through Friday, with Bob and Ray. So until next time, so long from Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding. Bob and Ray came to you through the facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.